Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm tired, but doing good. I'm hanging in there.
I hear you, dude, man. I've been super busy. I got right off work of my main job, and then I went and I made some food. I made some spaghetti. It was delicious. I ate it like 2 minutes before we got on here. Because it got done like right before we were supposed to do this podcast. So got really lucky with that. You know, did some household chores after work, took the garbage out, you know, all the regular things you got to do. But I'm with you. I'm actually not that tired. I'm actually really wired and excited. Kasper Schakkonen may actually see meaningful minutes for the Miami Heat.
Is that a guarantee?
Probably not. No, probably not. Yeah. But Eric Spoelstra was asked about it from Ira Winderman, and he gave a response that was not no. He said, to paraphrase, he said, Kasper Schakkonen is not in the G League for a reason, and I like what he's been doing. I liked what he was doing every G League game. He's getting better, 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 blah, 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 regular coach speak.
I mean, he's been in the G League for half the season. He's played 1 minute.
But he said he's kept him with the team. He could have sent him back to the G League. That's what he said. That's what he's saying, man. You gotta put the read between the tea leaves of what Coach Spo is putting down. You're not buying it, are you?
No. I mean, it's like I'm not buying it in the sense that, like, yes, I'm happy he's with the team, but like, doesn't mean he's gonna play or anything like that. Which,
true.
I mean, not saying I don't hope that's not the case. Like, I hope that's the case. I hope he does play.
Right. No, I'm with you. Well, you know what? We were going to do the What's on SI segment. We'll do that after. We'll go around the NBA really quickly. I forgot to pull the chat up. Let me do that really quickly. So we can see if any of our viewers that are watching have anything to say. But if you do, drop a comment. I'm going to leave today's article from On SI in the chat so you can kind of get a head start. If you haven't read it yet, this is the latest one from me, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So around the league real quick, and again, I'm excited. I'm wired today. No idea why. Only had one cup of coffee. Yesterday, I had two cups of coffee and two Sprites, and I never drink soda. So how am I more wired today than I was yesterday? Explain it to me.
I couldn't give you an explanation.
I have none either. I don't know, but I'm super excited. So let's talk about Con Knipple some more on this channel. Versus Cooper Flagg for Rookie of the Year, because it looks like right now those are the two front runners for Rookie of the Year. You could throw in Cowherd. You could throw in VJ Edgecombe, because he had an amazing start to the season and kind of tailed off. Do me a favor, Matt, real quick, just some for behind the scenes, because you keep freezing up. Take off your virtual background if you can for me, because I think it's using too much of your internet resources. I mean, Jesus, you could try the blurred background. Maybe it's less intensive, but something's using your bandwidth, which is causing you to freeze.
Let's try that.
There you go. I bet you that's what
there
the problem
we go.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, he's back. No, he froze up again. It had nothing to do with the virtual background. Your internet provider is conking out on you. It's like, maybe we'll let you stream, maybe we will not.
I think now that's it's normal.
Now it's normal again. All right, so Con Knipple versus Cooper Flagg. We caught some flack because I put out this clip. Now, AI, I just want to let people behind the scenes. I clip our program with an AI program that clips it for us, and it came up with a headline I didn't fully vet. So whenever when the guy brought it to my attention, I was just as surprised as he was. But the headline said, Cooper Flagg, a bust? And then we talked about Cooper Flagg's struggles to start the season. But that wasn't what we were going for at all. That really wasn't. AI was completely wrong on what we were talking about. And it generated a headline that is indeed controversial and people will talk about. But it had nothing to do with what we were actually talking about. So, no, we don't think Cooper Flagg's a bust. I mean, we thought he was a borderline generational player. I don't think he's with that tier of generational players, but he's unbelievable player. But with that, Cooper Flagg got off to a slower start, picked it up recently with the 42-point game. Con Knipple has just been super consistent all the way through. He's been shooting the cover off the ball, fits seamlessly, beating the closeouts, getting to the rim, assisting, being a leader. His leadership has been outstanding on a team that was devoid of leadership because LaMelo Ball was running the ship for a very long time. Although all the people in the Hornets land want to talk about how good of a leader LaMelo Ball has been and they don't get the narrative, it's there for a reason. LaMelo Ball is not a very good leader, not a serious basketball player. What are your thoughts so far, rookie of the year, Con Knipple, Cooper Flagg, or anybody else you want to throw in the mix?
I would probably, if I were to just pick one today, it'd probably be Con. Just because of, like, he's been doing it the whole season. But at the same time, like, if you look at the numbers, they're pretty comparable in points per game. They're pretty comparable in rebounds per game. Assists per, like, they're pretty comparable everywhere. I think another reason why I would give it to Con is he's been more efficient. Like, the thing with Cooper early in the season was, I mean, this has still been the case, so it's not, like, anything new. Is that he's just not shooting the ball well. Like, he's finishing around the rim very well. He's doing better in that area.
Right.
But his 3-point shooting has not been there. I'm not worried about that long term or anything like that. But Con shooting 41% from three on, like, pretty steady volume, while being one of their best passers, while being one of their better, you know, point of attack defenders, while being one of their, you know, better rebounders. Not that Coop hasn't done any of those things, because he has, but, like, I think Khan's been more consistent with this, so I'd give him, like, the slight edge right now. But, like, Coop's surge lately is because he wasn't playing point guard. It's a big, like, reason why. Like, Brandon Williams and Ryan Nemhart have kind of steered that ship in a much more successful direction offensively. Like, You could just look at the numbers when either of those two guys are on the floor versus when none of them are on the floor, and it's Coop having to do a lot of the creation burden or creation responsibility. And, like, it's just not there's a big delta in the terms of production between those For two sure. guys and him. And, like, while I think over his career Coop is going to be a guy that has the ball in his hands a lot, he's 18 years old, and that's just not his bag right now. Like, that's just not something that you can rely on him doing right now. Even though he's a very smart, intuitive player,
right?
He's just not. That's not something that he should be doing yet. And I think Dallas kind of figured that out pretty quickly because of how dormant their offense was at the start of the season, and now they've kind of, you know, picked up the slack a little bit. It's obviously still not great. There's been dudes in and out of the lineup. You know, Derek Lively's now out for the season with an injury. Davis returned within the last, I think, like, few weeks or a month. There's just been, like, a lot of, you know, fluctuation in terms of their rotation, at least at the start.
Yeah.
But I would probably give the slight edge to Con if I were to choose between the two of them. It's not a big gap. You could convince me either way.
Right.
But I think Coop has closed that gap significantly. And then you get into that next year where it's VJ, whether it's I think Jeremiah Fears and Queen
have Fears.
Played above their head. Cedric Coward's obviously a name to be talked about here. Dylan Harper, I know he's only played 15 games, but I think his name warrants some mentioning here. Those are kind of like the next tier of guys. And then you get into your Colin Murray Boyles, you get into, gosh, who else? I mean, it thins out pretty quickly. I mean,
it does. It definitely thins out pretty quick. I agree with that.
Trey Johnson too, Ace Bailey.
Man, it's criminal what's happening with Trey Johnson. I mean, I know he had the hip flexor. I know there may have been some sort of minutes restriction based on that. And when he's come back, I mean, he's really only played like 19, 20 minutes a game. And every time he steps on the floor, and it goes beyond with the numbers he's putting up, they start winning. He leaves the floor, and they start losing. There's a direct correlation. And it isn't because you know, he's that great of a player. The gravity that he creates, because he shoots the ball so effortlessly from deep, and then he beats the close and will shoot a fadeaway over you and make it consistently at a high level, shoots free throws at a high level. He has to play more for that team, don't you think?
He will at some point.
Yeah, I know. We talked about this before, like after the All-Star break, whenever they decide to just stop playing Middleton and McCollum or trade them or whatever, then it'll happen. I get it, man. I don't like it, but I get it. All right, so
couple of other guys I forgot to mention here are Kalkbrenner and Zion James.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you this. Ryan Nemhart or Zion James for the most underrated rookie that's playing the best?
I would throw another guy into that mix.
Go for it.
Will Richard.
Oh, yeah. He's been really terrific. He does all the little things. Does all the little things for Golden State.
Not saying how to take Will Richard. I just also want.
Yeah, he's in that mix.
That conversation.
For sure. He's in that mix. I get exactly what you mean. Absolutely. Well, let's pivot here for a moment. Don't forget to like and subscribe, like it says at the bottom of the channel, the little ticker going by. We're trying to get fancy around here. And also, you know, follow us on social media. I'm Digital Adele. That's Matt Hanifin. I didn't put his because I'd have to do mathematics to remember his Twitter handle to put on there. But yeah, follow us on social media as well. We're going to pivot. We're going to talk about what we've done on Sports Illustrated's website on SI. So we're going to do our What's on SI segment right now. And what I want to talk about is the article that I wrote today. And so that article, I'll put it on the screen for the audience. It's basically what would the Pacers do if they won the NBA lottery? And I went on to talk about Darren Peterson because he's my number one on my big board still. He's the most polished prospect that I've seen in a very, very long time. He doesn't really have a weakness that I could think of. For Darren Peterson, his biggest weakness so far has been lack of explosiveness around the basket. But then when you find out he has a hamstring that he's been dealing with for like the entire season, basically, it starts to make a little bit of sense of what's happening with his hamstring, right? So, or with his lack of explosiveness. But at 6'5", 205, averaging 19... picture this. He has a hamstring problem. He's been averaging 19.3 points per game, 3.8 rebounds per game, 2.8 assists, a effective field goal percentage of 63.2%, and a three-point percentage of 42%. I mean, he's been unbelievable. Can handle the ball with both hands, left or right, can finish with left or right. He'll shoot tough contested shots and make them at a pretty high clip, and he's dynamic in the passing lanes defensively. What do you think about me having Darren Peterson number one overall?
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
I mean, he's my number one, so.
Oh, no! Spoiler alert! Matt Hanifin.
People who have listened to the show know that.
Well, you know, Matt, we got to try to build some sort of drama That's true. Somehow. But he's just unbelievable, that guy. And I don't even think he's playing his best basketball. Like, not even close.
No.
I mean, he's averaging 19.3 points per game. That's kind of an incredible thing to say. Like, in the efficiency, the fact that he's that efficient, it just blows me away. I also like that other player they have. I forget his name. He had a real big game last time they played. He had like 35, 36 points. I think he's number 11. He was absolutely outstanding for them. He's got this long, wiry, like strong frame. He can get into the lane kind of whenever he wants because he's very quick, and he's a dog defensively. I like that kid a lot, and he's starting to show that he can actually shoot. But that's what I wrote about for On SI. If you want to view the whole article, I put it in the chat as well as the description of this podcast. We'll do this all year with the stuff we write. We'll put it in the link and description of the podcast. We're going to move on to a very, very exciting matchup. And Matt, my brain is bad, and you have the young brain, so you're going to have to think for me. The Houston Cougars versus the Arkansas Razorbacks in college basketball. Darius Acuff versus Kingston Flemings. That matchup is on Friday, is that right?
No, Saturday.
Saturday. I was close. One day off. All right. Saturday. I'm super duper excited for that matchup. The Louisville matchup with Mikel Brown Jr. versus Darius Acuff. I mean, that was just an incredible game to watch. You really got to see what separated Mikey Brown Jr. and Darius Acuff, and Acuff, like, his poise and how much more polished he was than Mikey Brown or Mikel Brown. So I'm very interested to see head-to-head Kingston Flemings versus Darius Acuff. What are you looking forward to in that matchup?
I'm looking for a few different things. I'm looking for how Kelvin Sampson schematically decides to attack Acuff.
Right.
And then the other thing I'm looking for is, like, again, another big game for Flemings. He's been, I think, excellent this year in bigger, high level competition.
For sure.
How does he navigate Acuff? How does he navigate Billy Richmond, who's a guy who I kind of like? There's a few plays a game where, like, Billy, you know, just completely blows up whatever the other team's doing defensively.
Yeah, Billy's a problem,
and athletic,
dude,
and instinctive he is on the ball.
Yeah, the Billy Goat.
Yeah, and he that's kind of what he did to shut Anderson down a little bit in the second half of that game against Texas Tech. Anderson was phenomenal in that game.
He was.
But Billy, you know, kind of threw him for a loop a little bit a couple of different times.
Yeah, so that big body and that athleticism, it could really wear on you whenever you have that guy full court pressing you like he was doing.
Like, I'm sure Cal's going to throw a bunch of bodies at Fleming's, and I'm very curious to see how he responds, and then, you know, vice versa with Acuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm really interested in this, so I'm going to give you one for each person. For Darius Acuff, I'm really interested to see how he finishes with that kind of length, because when you have Sinek and you have JoJo Tugler down there,
yeah,
I mean, that's a lot of length. Like, who has more length than that? Maybe Arizona, maybe
Florida.
And then Florida. Like, maybe. Like, that's a lot to deal with, Sinek and JoJo Tugler down low.
So North Carolina with Wilson.
And maybe North Carolina. Absolutely. There's some big college teams this year. We can't forget Michigan. They got Mara. Oh, yeah, they got Mara. They got Yoxel Lindenborg.
Michigan State's another one.
Yeah, dude. There's some really big teams in the NCAA right now. Which is fantastic to see, because you didn't really see a lot of good big man play for a long time, you know, in the NCAA. That NIL money, man, it keeps them, gets them in there. But so what I'm really interested in that, how Acuff finishes in traffic. I said this last podcast, he doesn't remind me of CJ McCollum, the player. But he shares an attribute with McCollum. That's Darius Acuff, where he only goes as fast as he needs to. And in this game, he's going to have to do some quick separating because they play defense. Houston plays defense hard. Milo Uzan, how do you pronounce his name?
Milo Uzan.
Uzan.
And Emmanuel Sharp.
Yes. They will get into you and they will defend you. Park Kingston, he's a little guy, man. I mean, he's skinny. I mean, he's going to have to put some muscle on at the next level.
He's not that skinny.
He's skinny, Matt. Dude, he's skinny. He's athletic.
He's skinnier. He's not like a super skinny, like Jeremiah Fierce skinny. He's not that skinny.
Even if Fierce wasn't, Fierce, I don't know what he was doing like throughout his college career, but he added muscle quicker than I've seen most freshmen. Like, from the beginning of the year to like the end of the year, I'm like, where'd all that muscle come from? Like, he didn't have it to start the year. But no, you're right. Kingston's got a little muscle to him. He's got a little muscle, but you know,
he certainly plays like it.
Well, because he's so quick and explosive, that force, he plays with force, Matt Hanifin. That's the difference. It's not that he's super strong. He plays with force, and so I'm interested for him to see, with the defenders that Arkansas has, DJ Wagner, when Malik Thomas comes in, he's also wiry and long. He's not really that strong, but he's wiry and long. And then you have the Billy Goat when he comes in. Like, how does he handle some of that higher tier athleticism with the bigger frames and the bigger wingspans? And Darius Acuff, he's not a pushover point of attack. Like, if he gets switched out, it's not like, oh my God, what's going to happen? They try to save him a little bit for the offensive end. That's why I think they put him off ball. But he's actually a pretty good defender. He does get lost, like you talked about, a little bit on screen. Sometimes he'll lose a little focus off ball. But on ball, he really competes. And because he's built like a tank, it's not like you're just going to run through him. Like, you got to cleanly beat him to get around him. So those are the two things I'm looking for in that game. Is there anything else you want to talk about with Houston versus the Arkansas Razorbacks?
It's just another data point for Senak.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Haven't popped off the page this year for him, but like, I think he's shown some good moments. Right. On both ends of the floor, he's, you know, I think his 3-point volume and efficiency has come down a little bit. That's been something that, like, or I mean, I think I may be a little bit wrong there. But I just, in the games that I've watched, I haven't seen him shoot as many threes. I know that's something that he's shown he's capable of doing, is spreading the floor a little bit. Right. He's shooting 35% from three this year, albeit on, you know, low volume, 2 attempts per game. He's shooting only 56.3% at the free throw line. That's not great, but that's on 1.5 attempts per game.
Right.
But this is just another data point for him. And like, this is how you build trust, is in these absolutely types of games.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to do a little quick comparison to end the show. So here we go. We have on Tankathon, which is very good comparison tool. Not saying it's always 100% accurate, but very good data comparison tool for free. So anyway, we have Kingston Flemings versus Darius Akhov. There's no way they weigh the same amount. There's no way they're both 190 pounds. I don't buy it. I don't
one's
buy it
just
one bit.
Two or three inches bigger than the other. That's the difference.
They're like 1 inch difference between the two of the guys. I don't
it's
even think
listed
they're
that
much
way.
Taller.
I don't think that's actually true.
I can't wait for the combine to find out. Yeah, I really true. Can't. I think Darius Acuff's like 200 pounds, like 205. He's built like a freaking football player.
Yeah, that's probably a more accurate.
Dude, when you look at his traps and his shoulders of like how stocky he is, I'm like, there's just no way he weighs the same amount as Kingston. But anyway, so let's go through this tale of the tape a little bit. They both played 11 games. They both play about 30 minutes a game, you know, slightly higher. And then we get into the points per game. Acuff takes that. Kingston, him and Kingston are pretty much the same in rebounding. Kingston gets a half a board more. And then assist, about the same. Their blocks are about the same. Kingston's in the passing lanes a little bit more. Neither one turns it over very much, and neither one of them foul very often. But look at that.
I have a hard time looking at Flemings because these last couple of games he's played like 5 minutes a game because they're beating New Orleans by a billion points. So it's like I don't know what to do with that.
What do you do with those blowouts? That's true. That's a good point. And it's going to inflate his field goal percentages and, but not the 3-point percentage. That 3-point percentage, no matter what, dude, you still got to shoot that thing from beyond the arc. 51% unsustainable.
Over his last two games, he's 1 of 4 from deep. He's shooting, quick math in my head, 7 of 12. So it's a little above 50%. Like, it's
still unbelievable, man.
Seven
of 12 is still unbelievable.
38 minutes the last two games combined. Like, I don't know.
I get it. I get it, dude. But when you're on the court,
I can't look at his box score right now. I just can't.
When you're on the court, you can only do what you can do, man. The numbers are fantastic.
Yeah. That Notre Dame game was a little rough. But
yeah, for sure. Interestingly, Kingston doesn't get as much usage as Acuff.
No. Thank you, Milo Suzanne.
Is Milo Suzanne an NBA player?
Let
me just try to establish that.
Not really.
I don't think he is.
I like Sharp.
Yeah, I like Sharp as well. He has a better chance.
Would be like a fun 3-and-D guy at the next level.
Yeah, he has a chance at a 3-and-D spot for sure. But look at Kingston Flemings' advanced stats. Acuffs are unbelievable, but holy cow. His advanced stats are unbelievable. He's a really, really good basketball player. I mean, really, really good basketball player. So that's all we got for today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show. Me and Matt, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday. If you're listening, this is new. If you're listening on any of the podcasts like Spotify, Apple Podcast, you know, iHeartRadio, the pod has been moved to Wednesdays and Fridays. The reason being is YouTube takes a full 24 hours for me to be able to download the show. It's not available right away like it used to be. So I got to wait 24 hours to get it downloaded and then uploaded the next day to the pod. So if that's how you're listening to us, that's why it's a day behind. We apologize, but it is what it is. Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at HotHotHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, and Orlando Magic on SI.
And you can find me, Digital Adele, anywhere social media is found. On Instagram, there's an underscore in the middle, so a digital underscore Adele. Also, find me on SI doing articles for NBA draft content for the Indiana Pacers, the Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat, Memphis Grizzlies, and the Milwaukee Bucks. That is it for this Digital Adel Hoops podcast.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.